yourhealthnow.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
In the second hour of the Paracast, with Claudia Cunningham making her first appearance with some unusual tales, Tim Beckley always has a story. But Chris, you dropped this thing, you've probably referenced it before. You mentioned someone or family, three generations of abductions. Just maybe cover that very briefly for those who missed it.
You know, with all the work that I did in the field for 13 years, pounding the ground, literally, I would have expected to come up with more claims of abductions. And out of all that time, I only had four people that claimed they had been abducted. Out of those four, two of them were really intriguing. And I do mention those in my book, Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, in one of the final chapters. This one case was of a rancher woman, a single mom, mother, you know, hard worker, very gifted with horses and livestock. And her case was referred to me by the sheriff's department. I befriended her to the extent of she was able to trust me enough to tell me her story. And it turns out that when she was growing up in the Denver area, her family experienced some very unusual sighting events. Her mother, you know, may have had, and again, I was not able to ascertain this definitively, but she claimed that she had had experiences that she hadn't told her family about. And her daughter then started experiencing things back in the late 80s, if memory serves me correct, after she had moved down to the San Luis Valley. And then currently her daughter was having experiences, but I was not allowed to really interview the daughter extensively. I did get some confirmation of some events that had happened, but she was very, very nervous about spooking her little girl too much. She had a missing fetus when I think she was entering the third trimester of pregnancy, which is highly unusual.
Excuse me, missing fetus, like one day she wakes up and there is no pregnancy?
Right, and no evidence of her ever even being pregnant, which really blew her obstetrician.
That's been reported.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, though. That's pretty rare. Third trimester of pregnancy. that's rare. She's very, very nervous. She had a Men in Black encounter. She claimed that the Blues Brothers were down at the end of her driveway stealing her mail.
Dan Aykroyd
sounds like a possibility.
A tall guy and a short, pudgy guy dressed in black fedoras, you know.
Okay, so this was Dan Aykroyd and the late John Belushi.
Well, they were far enough away where she couldn't really ID who the people were, but she said they looked just like the Blues Brothers in Elwood's Bluesmobile.
In black.
Yes, oh yeah, all dressed in black.
Dan Aykroyd is a big fan of UFOs. His father just wrote a book on spiritualism. And he had a Men in Black experience, so I think there might be something to that appearance in the movie.
Well, some of the things that she mentioned about her experiences really had me scratching my head, but she did have a certain amount of documentation, which was very difficult to argue with, and the fact that the sheriff's department had been investigating her case, and they at one point they kind of reached, you know, loggerheads with the whole thing. They really didn't know what else to do. That's when I was called in. And you don't get cases of that caliber referred to you by law enforcement very often. This is a highly unusual, to my knowledge. Of course, I was kind of called the unofficial deputy of weirdness for several counties there for a while, but so much was going on.
You encourage people by your mere presence to reveal their paranormal encounters. You're a paranormal man.
No, I don't think I encourage people. I just make sure that they know that if they need to talk to somebody, that there is someone that would be willing to be objective and non-judgmental and talk to them. Plus, you know, I do try to make people aware that the data is very important. Even though let's say you want to remain anonymous, at least give me the opportunity to log the data and investigate the claim. But encourage people, no. I'm pretty neutral about that part of it.
Claudia, before we let you go and you tell us you can only spend part of the show with us, any more interesting tales to reveal?
Well, there are many places in the city itself that have a reputation of being haunted. But before I tell you that, I don't know if it was a UFO experience, but I was coming back from Ireland about 15 years ago, and I was in a plane coming up the Hudson River, and I was kind of looking down. And right near the shoreline, there was this little silver disc that was keeping pace with our plane and was kind of doing flips and, you know, all these gyrations for about maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. And I always wondered about that. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Well, there have been any number of instances where UFOs have followed planes pretty close, where people, passengers have looked out the window and there it
sure.
is right there next to them. Yeah.
Yeah, there have been a number, especially in the early days of the UFO field, when we were reading all those books from Major Kehoe and the one from Edward Ruppelt, there were stories of airline encounters where the UFO seemed to be coming closer.
Yeah, Ray Stanford has three films filmed out of airliners. Plus, there's been quite a number of good photographs of objects that seem to be pacing airplanes. How about this one, though? I had the current sheriff of a county. At the time, he was a deputy sheriff. He was up fishing at a reservoir, and he heard the sound of a plane, and he looked up, and he said a Cessna flew by about 1,000, 1,200 feet off the ground, but it was flying backwards. I love that one.
I mean, that's what the airline pilots are doing now that their salaries are not as high as they used to be. They have this philosophy, well, if you're not going to pay us a decent dollar, we'll fly backwards.
I love it. I think I've ridden with a few of those.
That seems like the way to go.
Could I ask a question before I pack up? I'd like to know how many of you think that at least part of this Men in Black thing and UFO situation is spiritual, the old good versus evil, demonic.
Yeah, well, that would be my feeling at the moment, although people kind of misunderstand when I say demons. My book is titled Round Trip to Hell and a Flying Saucer. They think of it in the Christian fundamentalist sense, and I'm far from being the most religious person in the world here. I see it as, when you say spiritual, I see it as spirits. If you remember, Aleister Crowley would often invite beings from parallel universes to join him in some ritualistic ceremonies, and I think
I wouldn't say often, but he did do it.
Well, he did. Well, he claims to have done it at least, yes. But I do believe that we are part of a multi-dimensional cosmos, and that these craft that we call UFOs are not, in a sense, coming here from Alpha Centauri, like Stanton Friedman would have you believe. In fact, I believe after years of research into this field, and you can't go into this with blinders on, and this is what a lot of people like to do. They have a preconceived idea. They don't want to hear anything else. Block it out of their mind. They will talk over you if you have another idea. I do believe that the government secretly fostered the idea that flying saucers were interplanetary. It could well have been that even groups like NICAP were organized for this purpose, because, in fact, if you go back and you check the roster of those who were on the board of directors and closely involved with Kehoe's work, you'll find that a lot of them had a government and CIA connection. The government would...
Well, you know, some people... Okay, that's the old conspiracy theory about NICAP.
Yeah.
That,
yes.
But the other theory being, of course, that because Kehoe is ex-military, he had so many friends from the military who came aboard. But the other theory, of course, is that anyone who had any military connection had to be one of them.
Well, this goes back even further now, Gene. I also believe that this porthole was opened in Germany around 1920. In a secret society, there was a secret society made up of what eventually become members of the SS and the German Nazi hierarchy, who were actually holding seances. There were eight very attractive women with long hair. They didn't have their hair usually. That wasn't the style in those days.
Really, so instead of three men in dark suits, it's women, three women with long hair?
Well, this was eight women, and they sat in a seance in a secret society meeting in a lodge, a hunting lodge, and they actually claimed that they had channeled messages from beings from another dimension, and in fact, they actually took down the graphics illustrated through automatic writing of what the craft looked like. And if you compare those drawings that were made in the 1920s to the craft that were supposedly sighted by George Adamski and others in the 1950s, it's shockingly similar.
I'll tell you what's shockingly similar. This message, we're talking to Claudia Cunningham and Tim Beckley with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. Fate magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
On these shows, you notice with Chris O'Brien, his voice gets to be more
demonic.
Demonic. Well, you're not doing at least the trickster imitation. Please don't. We have Tim Beckley, Claudia Cunningham. And, Tim, you're telling us about the seance, but isn't it also true that, you know, for years we've been hearing these stories about weird Nazi experiments and developments? I mean, on a previous week's episode with Ed Komarek, he was talking about a 1936 UFO crash in the Black Forest.
Well, that's, I don't know if that's substantiated or not. By the way, you forgot to ask Ed about his firewalking. The first time I met Ed, he had organized that year the Congress of Scientific Ufologists, of course, founded by Jim Moseley.
And you and I were very much involved in that organization.
Well, were you not there when he walked across fire in his backyard as part of the mystical experiences of having organized that particular conference? I don't remember what year it was, but that has to probably be one of the most spectacular events associated with one of Jim's yearly events. And that's something I don't think I've ever heard anybody mind over matter. That's what it was, of course.
I don't remember that one.
Well, getting back to Claudia's question, Tim, one thing that I find very intriguing is the work of Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who I've talked to recently and is becoming more and more and more convinced that many of the paranormal aberrations and haunted sites and more of the paranormal type events are the work of the jinn. She has really become convinced that the Islamic version of or explanation of paranormal phenomena, which is the jinn, is applicable in most, if not all, paranormal cases. So in that case, we're talking about potential negative jinn, and there's positive
jinn.
Jinn
is just the Islamic version of a Christian demon. It's all one and the same.
No, it's not. I disagree totally.
Chris, they even possess people, and they even have exorcisms. Did you realize that?
Right. But they're a positive jinn as well. It's not totally negative.
Yeah.
That's the Christian view.
On the other hand, there are also probably positive spirits, too. So to me, it's just a slightly different explanation or definition of what a demon would be. It's just a matter of terminology and a matter of a name.
Well, yeah, I think it goes beyond that, though. There are specific attributes within the Islamic version or explanation, definition. There are 12 different types of jinn. There's not 12 different types of demons. Demons is a catch-all phrase
for something that is
perceived as being negative.
Well, I don't think you've probably read that much literature on the subject, because there certainly are different rankings of demons. Anyway, the thing is that you're right. I think a lot of this is a spiritual or a paranormal event, and a lot of people, they have sightings, and these are, well, in fact, in the book, I did an interview with you about the shapeshifters. And so
right.
Not only does it turn out that the beings themselves can mutate, but the objects as well. There are a number of cases where I've talked to witnesses, and they were particularly puzzled by the fact that, lo and behold, right in front of their eyes, the craft that they were witnessing went from a large ball to a small cigar, or vice versa.
Or even morphed into a helicopter. I had one case where a sphere turned into a helicopter.
Now,
I've got footage of a helicopter turning into a sphere.
Now,
can I say something?
Shoot.
Okay. If you go to YouTube and type in airplane morphs into UFO, it's amazing. I don't know if it's a trick photography or what, but it sure looks real. You'll see it.
Well, it also could be a light bloom, too, from the angle of the sun reflecting off the craft. I have footage from the San Luis Valley that looks like a perfect sphere sailing across the sky, and the first five frames, if you notice, it's actually a helicopter, and it's right when the sun hits that round canopy that the light blooms, and it looks like a perfect silver sphere flying across the screen. So,
well,
you know, lights do interesting things.
Yeah.
A couple of days ago in Moscow, there was a video that was taken during one of the Putin protests there. And,
yeah, that was Putin cam.
This is the weirdest thing in the sky. It looks a cross between a UFO and a helicopter.
Yeah, it's Putin cam.
Yeah.
It was,
well, you know what Charles Schwartz
said. Taking pictures and notes.
Our friend Charles Schwartz said, and I love this, and I always remember that. He said, not only is the world stranger than we know, it's stranger than we can know. And I don't think any of us have the answers, but at least we have the questions. It takes you into some fascinating places, right?
Right. It's the people that ask the more interesting questions and get creative with their questions that I think have a better chance of moving the ball down the field. Let's put it that way.
That's right. Well, we live in an era when, you know, people don't read books anymore. They don't ask questions. They accept everything that's told. And I think people with the curiosity, I think, live the more interesting lives. I know I'll never be a normal housewife. I'm an adventurer, and all my friends are. And, you know, just meeting Tim, which was such a fun thing, you know, people threw him, and it's opened my mind up 100 times from what it was, what's left of it. Tim, I loved talking to him. We had such a great time in the cemetery. Too bad you guys weren't with us. We had a lot of laughs. If you're ever up New York way, let's all get together. I'll take you on a tour.
Oh,
sounds like a plan.
I'm sure Charles Horton would like to talk to us all.
Oh, well,
yeah, we'll
channel.
Do a little seance or something.
That's right.
Hey there, Charlie. I wonder what Charles Fort believed. What do you think he believed, Tim?
That we are property.
We are property. That's it. Well, but you kind of think when you say that kind of non-seriously.
Well, I don't know. You know, of course, some of the his writings are somewhat satirical, you know, I mean, kind of tongue-in-cheek. But then he was he was a professional writer, and he was a good, you know, good writer. He took all that material and put it together in a coherent fashion. My God, if a lot of other people didn't come along long after him and just rewrite all of what he had written, you know. And he covered more than just UFOs, of course. He was very much involved in mysterious disappearances and hauntings and things that go a bump in the night in general. He had a massive collection, of course, of all this. He spent hours, probably half of his life, in the library, both in England and then, you know, he was born in England, of course, but he came here with his family, I think maybe in the 1920s or so, and that's why they are buried in Albany. I've often wondered about that. I don't really know that much about his family or his background. I'm sure other people have written about it.
Yeah, there are a couple biographies.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a brand new one out. I grabbed it. I didn't read the whole thing, but I think he was a cynic in the beginning and then was a believer, kind of like Harry Houdini, who was also a cynic. I think he died a cynic, though, didn't he?
Well, Harry Houdini was beyond cynic.
he was a debunker.
His livelihood depended upon, to a good degree, debunking spiritualists, you know.
He was the first, the amazing Randy, the original debunker.
He was indeed, yes. Houdini traveled actually around the country and the world debating Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. I mean, they both just like thrived on each other. Doyle, of course, is a big, big believer in spiritualism. You know, I've read some of Doyle's work. We have a couple of books on Houdini, and I do believe that some of the manifestations that took place in the seance room, it was not all fraudulent like Harry Houdini would have you believe. In fact, if you compare what happened in the seance room, there's a great deal of similarities between the phenomena there and the UFO phenomena.
We have Tim Beckley, Claudia Cunningham, who's leaving shortly. Thanks for joining us, Claudia.
Okay.
And with Gene and Chris, you're always in
the Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaway, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption. absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
The world's best solar-powered oven has gotten better. Sun ovens are now available with a brand new Christmas sun dehydrating and preparedness kit, which includes everything required for cooking, water pasteurization, and dehydrating with the power of the sun. Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. A sun oven lets you harness the sun's power to bake, boil, or steam food, heat water for purification or personal hygiene, or dehydrate. For the past 25 years, Sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S., are durable, and have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a limited time, preppers can save $65 on the purchase of a Christmas Sun Dehydrating and Preparedness Kit. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/GCN. That's sunoven.com/GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Oh, Tim Beckley remains. Claudia Cunningham has left the building. You're with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast. Exploring so many subjects, you can't keep up with them. All this paranoia in the UFO field, and you have to wonder here sometimes, Tim, maybe you can expand on this, whether the paranoia is being generated by our reactions to UFOs and paranormal phenomena, by the military trying to, as they say, create confusion. What's your take on it?
Well, of course, there are a lot of people in the UFO field that are paranoid. You know, something, though, Gene and Chris, I don't think that those people are the ones that are the experiencers so much. There tends to be a lot of hoopla among the researchers in the field, you know, who feel that there's some great conspiracy going on. Well, I think the reason that there is a conspiracy, I mean, for the most part, is that how can, you know, Obama go on TV, Stephen Bissett and his group there expects the government to come clean on UFOs. Well, how could they possibly do that? First of
now,
all,
just,
we,
let's just back up a little bit. You're talking about the recent petition sent to Obama.
Yes. Yeah, well, not only just that, but this goes back to the days of Kehoe and all of that. You know, you can push the extraterrestrial theory all that you want, but unless you and I can go out on Dancing with the Stars and tap dance with an ET or something, you can't prove it. I mean,
speak for yourself about Dancing with ET, please.
I beg your pardon?
I don't dance.
You don't dance. Well, I can do a little jitterbug, and it's not happening. I mean, if the UFO entities wanted us to represent them or acknowledge their existence, they would be here. And the fact of the matter is that as soon as you get close enough, they disappear. They hightail it out of town or across the vacant lot. Or there has been this overwhelming conception that the government knows exactly what is going on and they're hiding it from us. Well, you know, maybe some one or two individuals in the higher echelon. Certainly not Obama or anybody else that ran for president. Maybe the closest was Ronald Reagan because he, you know, kind of had his own experiences and was his wife was into astrology and things like that. Maybe he had a little bit more inkling. But even Jimmy Carter and Clinton, who were aggressively interested in the subject, it was brushed aside. They were told there was either nothing to it or it wasn't important at all. Well, the government can't go. First of all, who speaks for the government as far as this goes? You know, people would say, oh, if Obama got on TV and talked about the arrival of extraterrestrials, some the right-wingers would say it's a false flag. Others would say that he was, the Christians would say that he's in league with the demonic forces. How in God's name could anyone from the government, they would be either stoned or boo-hooed out of politics. It's just it's something that you can't touch. And also,
so basically saying here is that the government, in your interpretation, Tim, can never reveal the truth about UFOs because we would dismiss it. We wouldn't believe them.
Again, what is the truth about UFOs?
Well, let's assume there is a truth, Tim. Let's forget what the truth is. Let's assume there's a truth. They know the truth, and therefore they're ready to tell us. Obama's in the Oval Office, whatever. We have the cameras. He says, I have to tell you that we have confirmed that we are apparently being visited by aliens from another planet. And you're saying basically that, okay, as far as we're concerned, we wouldn't accept that. We'd want to have him impeached.
Maybe the public would, but the military-industrial complex certainly wouldn't. And as you probably realize, they seem, at least in this day and age, to be pulling the strings. So why do we need an intelligence from somewhere else to maybe be smarter than we are? That's not something that any government allows. I don't care if you're China, the United States, or the some small country in Africa. Whoever is your leader is your leader. There cannot be anyone higher than that. You know, so that's another thing. Also, too, if it's is demonic the forces, or let's call it spirit the forces or jinn. Could you go on TV, Chris, and say it's the jinn? I mean, first of all,
of course not.
Of course not.
It may even be more, Tim, it could be even more bizarre than that. It could be a manifestation of the collective human unconscious. We could be manifesting all this stuff.
Yeah, well, that you can't. Yeah. So it's just the only thing that they, I could see at some point maybe they would say that we have evidence that there was once, some structure on the moon, or somebody might have visited Mars, or perhaps even, come to Earth in the distant past. But that's a long time ago.
Think of it this way. Another approach might be where you gradually reveal the information. Like, now we discover all these planets with Earth-like qualities, the Class M planet.
We're going out how many years since 1947? We're going 60 years or something like that? It's not been gradual. It hasn't been anything.
Maybe it has. How do you know?
The media has been programming culture to accept these realities, these things as real.
I don't know. You take Steven Spielberg and his films, right? Well, he's made UFO films where, angelic beings have been seen. He's had, all kinds of monsters from outer space. It doesn't really seem to be, as far as I can tell, a message, except that maybe movie makers tend to be a little bit more open-minded than some people, so they'll throw out the possibility that these things could be real. I don't know as if there's a great cultural swing to do anything on this, and if it was, it's kind of evaporated over the years. You know, you could say something like, the day the Earth stood still, which still remains my favorite all-time UFO science fiction movie. There might have been a message in that. The message in Close Encounters was that Steve Spielberg was kind of putting down in the cinema fashion what had fascinated him as a child. You know, I was the editor or one of the editors of the official Close Encounters poster magazine. It was a quarterly that came out after the film. Of course, that was huge box office in those days. And I was privy to get a lot of this information, and I interviewed a couple of the actors that was on, you know, that were in the film. Bob Balaban, in fact, I was on a couple of TV shows with him. So I got all the literature. You know, my job was to take the movie and show how it related to real-life goings-on. And obviously, Spielberg had done his work. He had grown up just like the three of us, reading UFO literature. So,
of course, they also bought rights to Dr. Hynek's book.
Well, I'm not sure they bought the rights. He was used as a consultant in the and they used the terminology. But they probably would have gone ahead and done it anyway, because from what I know, they didn't pay him a vast sum of money, hardly anything from what I can tell. But anyway, you know, that was, to me, that would be the closest to UFO propaganda, but it's not government inspired. It was inspired by Steve Spielberg because of what had happened to him as a growing up, and his own interest in the subject. Not by any means was he told or forced to do that by any government agency. Although I still contend that they'd rather have you believe that flying saucers, the UFOs, are from out there. If you're going to believe in anything, believe that they're from out there, and don't believe that they're anything closer to home.
Because that would be infinitely more scary. I think people would be more frightened.
More scary, and it would turn the religion over upside down, because anything gets people panicking in the street as far as religion goes. I mean, it doesn't matter what the you know, the thing is, and if it were the jinn or UFOs or whatever, and you know they would say, oh, they're angels or Satan. God knows, you can't do it.
Our sponsors are going to be panicking in the streets if we don't let them have their say. We have Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning. Right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000. But the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for Aromatic Liquids Extracted from a Broad Range of Flowers, Stems, Seeds, and Bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO. Claudia Cunningham had joined us earlier, and we're looking into, I guess, the impossibility of disclosure, which I guess is the sum total of it.
Okay, Gene and Chris, let me tell you why I think also, too, there is no disclosure. Because the dirty little secret of ufology is that a lot of what took place, at least in the late 1940s and early 1950s, and perhaps even now to some extent, was inspired by the Nazi scientists. Now, listen to this. Okay, we know that about 4,000 ex-Nazi scientists and engineers were brought over to the United States directly after World War II as part of Project Paperclip. A lot of the documents have been declassified. Two of the staunchest supporters of the extraterrestrial theory happened to be Professor Hermann Oberth and Wernher von Braun.
This sounds like a repetition of what Ed Komarek told us.
Oh, okay. I missed that part. Sorry, I did hear part of the show. But, okay. They were brought over. And where did they set up shop, Gene and Chris? In the state of New Mexico. Where were most of the UFO sightings that took place around the late 1950s, early 1950s?
Well, the entire West Coast, from Washington down to California.
The Southwest, the green fireballs and all. So I believe that this technology that was being developed in Hitler's Germany that came from these seances and the drawings and all the information that came from automatic writing, that they brought this technology over here and were continuing to experiment with it. How do you explain that to the populace that we've got German Nazi scientists running around here and we brought them over when some of them should have certainly been in prison? Or God knows what, right? So better to believe that none of this is involved with these German reports and German projects that were being worked on at that point. Better to believe that they come from extraterrestrial sources, because the government would be and should be ashamed of the fact that they were continuing this research here under the skies of the V-2 rocket and so forth.
Okay, but that's the point that we're raising,
Tim. That's my take on it.
Tim, okay, so therefore you're saying that maybe a certain percentage of those UFO cases from that particular era were basically secret weapons.
Well, yes, but it's based on the information that came through by a paranormal nature. These eight women and the other mediums that were working and later were working for the German, the Nazi government, right? They were providing them with information regarding this technology. So even though you say it's Earth-made technology, well, it originated from some other interdimensional source. Now, there's a little bit of information that I'm not an expert on this, but this is what I conclude. I mean, I just look at this and I say, well, there's not a heck of a lot of evidence, you know, that these things are from outer space. I mean, you could say that something, you know, followed a plane, but that doesn't tell you where it comes from, right? We don't know who's inside of these things. They come and they go, and they transmutate, change shape, and do whatever they want. It's like magic. It's not extraterrestrial. If it was an extraterrestrial race, they would come here. They would leave some sort of message for us, even if they wouldn't confront us face to face. Remember, I think it was Carl Sagan who made this record, and they put it in one of the space probes and sent it out. So if the space probe was captured or anybody, they would find a record and be able to play it. As if anybody.
Oh, yeah, dear, Chuck Berry. I think Johnny B. Goode, right, was on there. And
I mean, but if that rocket came back here, how many people could play the disc, right? Because can you imagine? I mean, the record players to those people, if they were, they would develop some other kind of technology. They would just think it was a piece of plastic or something, you know, maybe use it as a frisbee and toss it away. Who knows, right? But, it just seems to me that there's enough evidence for something going on, and it's a very low-level phenomenon. It takes place normally below treetop level. I mean, look, you had Ted Phillips on, and he has Warley Heights, where he's the sightings and photographed it and filmed it in the woods. And it started out to him as just a typical UFO sighting, but a repeated phenomenon. And then it got weirder and weirder and weirder as it, as the whole thing went along. And Ted is one of the few people who has a background in this. Of course, he worked with Dr. Hynek very closely, has more UFO trace cases than probably anybody in the world. And little by little, he became to realize that this is not from outer space. This is something more fringy than that.
And I agree. And plus, I think we can all agree that probably at some point, 40 or 50 years ago, the military-industrial complex, the aerospace companies, your NGO-type technology companies, you know, this stuff may have been farmed out to them as a way of plausible deniability. And it may be on some level, there may be some sort of oversight by the government. But I have a feeling and a suspicion that a lot of this information isn't even held within government. I think that it's your aerospace companies that may have the lion's share of this type of data. So that would be a way for the government to say, hey, we don't know anything. And you can't do an FOIA request to lock you to McDonnell Douglas or Boeing.
I mean, you take even the supposed crash at Roswell. Now, if you look at the description of what actually landed or crashed there, this does not even sound. I mean, the thing was so lightweight. How could that have possibly traveled with occupants across the heavens? You know. And a piece of balsa wood with strange writing on it and some aluminum type foil that flattens out by itself when you try to scrunch it up. That doesn't sound like technology that's a million years ahead of us. It doesn't even sound like it's 50 years ahead of us, to be honest. I mean, we've gone beyond that in computer and digital technology. So that, to me, is a poor example of a craft from outer space. I don't believe it was a balloon or anything else there, but I do believe that in a few of these other crashes may have been something that these German scientists were working on. Better you believe that it comes from out there than think that it comes from former scientists and engineers from Nazi Germany. Anyway, that's my conclusion. You know, and if you say proof, well, you know, a proof is in the eye of the beholder in this field. What's proof to you may not be proof to me, right?
You're preaching to the choir as far as I'm concerned. I've been, trying to get this point across for years. I really think that we need to exhaust all closed system potentials before we get self-important enough to jump off planet. And I know to many of our listeners, they've heard me say that, and I sound like a broken record. But, you know, there's a lot of other possibilities that are being swept under the board and you know, bitch slap by the extraterrestrial hypothesis. And,
well,
I think creative thinkers.
You have a pretty active forum there. What do the listeners say about this? Do they get on your case for, coming up with other theories and ideas? Or are they anti-extraterrestrials? Or what seems to be the
pretty evenly split, I think.
Yeah, right.
A lot of folks are open-minded, although they say they they feel the most logical explanation would be something off-planet coming here. Others are the exact opposite. They say, well, you know, they agree with me and that we need to exhaust all the other possibilities before we jump off-planet. So I think it's very healthy, very open-minded, and lively. Everybody is able to debate their points, I think, for the most part, effectively.
Well, you know, the extraterrestrial hypothesis has had 50 or more years of being pushed in front of the public. So obviously that's the theory or the concept that most people can understand. Although now with some of the paranormal radio shows like the Paracast and some of the TV programs, people are beginning to realize maybe these things aren't from the dark side of the moon. You know, I did a an article that just came out. It's in the current issue of Open Minds magazine, and the article was about the last of the UFO contactees, Howard Menger. Now, you know, I have to some degree blame Howard Menger and the host of the first all night paranormal show, Long John Neville, for getting me involved in all of this, because I used to stay up until 5 o'clock in the morning when I should have been sleeping to get up in time to go to school the next day. But no, I was listening to Long John on WOR and hearing the tales of wonderment and enlightenment.
But I'll tell you, that's why I'm in radio today. Literally speaking, by listening to Long John Neville as a kid, and I came up with the crazy idea, gee, I'd like to do that too. I really like that kind of thing.
You know,
let me continue. Therefore, I'm going to do this. I'm going to grow up and become a radio broadcaster. Of course, my parents looked at me and said, why don't you get a real job? I think nowadays, after listening to the show, there are still people who are suggesting to me, Gene, why don't you get a real job? This is the real statement here, that we have Tim Beckley, Mr. UFO, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.